Amen. This month of February is, thank you ladies, is known as a month that we talk about this word love quite a bit. We sang about it this morning. You know, the world's idea of love is sensual. It's selfish. I'm just not in love anymore. I'm just not happy. The world's concept of love, it's all about me. God's concept of love, it's not what you get, it's what you give. For God so loved the world that he... Love is demonstrated in giving. Herein is love, 1 John 4, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave himself for us. Jesus gave himself. Why? Because he loved us. What did we have? Were we loving him back? Were we being good to God? No, the Bible says we were enemies. We were strangers. We were aliens. We were away from God. We had nothing to do with God. And even before we were born, he knew all about us. And yet in that condition, God said, I love you. I want you to spend eternity with me. Because of that, I will give my son. I don't know what month of the year is real special. They're all special to me. But I think of this month of February. I love February. I love it for my wife's sake, because I believe it was in February she found the true love of her life. The list was so long. I had a list of all these ladies were after me. It was just an amazing thing. They just thought I was the greatest thing. And my mother, my sisters, my aunt, my school teachers didn't like me. But one day I said yes. When she proposed, I said, I'll go ahead and rescue you. I think it was February that we began to fall in love. And by December, I know I don't recommend this. I was an old man. But by December, we were married. Just went real quick. I mean, when I fell. I'm so thankful that she would reach down, I feel like, and say, I love you, Jack. And I love you, Cindy. And God brought us together some 45 years ago. You know, it was on this month, February the 8th, just a few days ago, 1976, I stood and preached at a little building over here on Clyde Avenue. The church, North Valley Baptist Church, this church was 6 months old, and about 20 people there. And I preached Sunday school, Acts chapter 12. Sunday morning, John 3:16. Sunday night, Ephesians, the armor of God. I'll never forget that Sunday. It was raining. Brother Ed Brownlee and Flo, his wife, they're both home with the Lord. And he was a big, tall man, much taller than I. And yet he was driving a little brown Pinto. And he took us over to First Street afterwards and paid for our lunch. At the end of the day, I said, Lord, I'd like to do this all the time. I just fell in love with preaching. I fell in love with this ministry. You know, it was this month, just a few days later, on a Wednesday, in about another week, from now, that this church called us to come and be the pastor of this great church. 42 years. February is a great month for me. Brother Bob Smith, 40 years ago, you were saved this month, a few days ago, and baptized in this church. Brother Fred Sly, you were saved in February here and baptized in this church. Our kids were saved in February. So many great things have happened to us in February. In February, our church, 1977, voted 42-1. 42 adults to one. We were just about a year old. We voted to start this thing called North Valley Baptist Schools. And now that school has produced hundreds for God. It's just amen. It's a wonderful thing. And by the way, you say, if you didn't have your kids at North Valley Baptist School, where'd you have them? At North Valley Baptist School. There is not an option. Now, I know you might have an option, but for me, I'm thanking God. Our kids were raised, our grandkids. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It was this week in 1978, the next year, that Bus Route 5 began. That route has been running now for 40 years, every Sunday morning. I love February. Great things happen. In 1988, the year was I Love My Church. Everything revolved 30 years ago around, I love my church. I love North Valley Baptist Church. It's a wonderful place. And today it still is. I think about in 1994, we needed a foyer. Our foyer in the old building was so small, and the city voted in February, 7-0, build that extension. And we built that extension, and it just gave us more breathing room over there. We built on buildings in February. And then we began the I Love My Church. And then the buckets. And the buckets have been such a blessing. You'll see them tonight. If you're going to miss a church service, miss this morning. Don't miss tonight. You have to see it. I love February. February has been so many other, I could tell other things that have happened. February has been a wonderful month for myself and my wife and our lives, and this church, our ministry. I'm certain if I would go back and think about March, I could tell you about March. And I could tell you about April. It seems like every month there's something really great and special that happens. I love February. My sister-in-law was born in February. She's mean, but she's my sister-in-law. And I'm trying to be very nice to her because it's her birthday this week. Thank God she's not mean. There she sits. You can go back to sleep now. But what a joy this month of February. By the way, if I count at the other side of February, I imagine there's some big hurts in February. I imagine there's some big setbacks in February. We all have them. But I want to think on things that are lovely and good and virtuous and good report. I love, I was preaching in a nearby city, and I got to the meeting early because of traffic. It just worked out, and I just walked down that downtown. I just took a stroll before I preached that night, and I looked in all the little shops. Didn't go in and buy anything, just looked in the shops. Don't get your hope up for Valentine's Day. But I just looked, and there's hearts everywhere and red and white everywhere. And it looked so festive, and it was a beautiful night, about 5:30 at night. The sun was just setting. I love February. God's done so many good things in my life in the month of February in our home. Esther tells us about the story of love. And we talk about it much this month. But she talks about really what true love is all about. By way of introduction of Esther's life, she was just a little Jewish girl, young lady. The Bible tells us that she was very beautiful. The sad thing is, in every life has sadness. Her mother died and her dad died. She had an older cousin, Mordecai, that he came on the scene and he raised her. And you know, it's an amazing thing. She learned obedience because the instruction that he gave her in these first four chapters, she obeyed everything he said. And the Jews were now in a position that a decree had been made because of Haman. Haman was a wicked man. And Haman said, if the Jews will not give reverence to the king, they'll not bow down. Young and old, men and women, all these Jews shall die. It's a short book, but 51 times he talks about the Jews. The Jews have always been a persecuted people. And they will be, even through the tribulation time, the next prophetic event on God's calendar. All the nations of the world will point their missiles and point their armaments to Israel. And there'll be war like this world and bloodshed like this world has never seen before. Well, Mordecai, her elder cousin, said, I'm not going to bow. Oh, Haman was full of wrath. And that's when they made the decree of the Medes and the Persians. It cannot be reversed. Here's this king. You know, he tried to show off his wife, Vashti. And Vashti, she said, I'm not going to come to this drunken ball. And he exiled her. He got rid of her. And now he's going to choose the next queen. And for 12 months, they were in this process, the process of purification. And then it comes time. And the king set his eyes on this beautiful little Jew. Her name was Esther. And Esther was appointed to be the queen. She knew what she was following. She knew that Vashti had a Me Too moment. She knew that Vashti said, I am not going to respond to the king. She knew that she had to obey the laws of the Medes and the Persians, or her life could be taken as well. Now enters chapter 4, where we read. And the Bible says in chapter 4 that the king's servants and the people in the king's province know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the inner court who is not called. You cannot come to the inner court of the king. I might want to just insert this right here. I have no access to the inner court of the King of Kings, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he is my access. There's one God and one mediator, a go-between between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ made an opportunity for me to have access to the throne of grace. For God, here God, made him, Jesus, to be sin for me, who knew no sin, that we, over here, might be made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. You know you don't give money to become righteous? Do you know today that you and I don't get baptized to become righteous? Do you know that today we don't attend church to become righteous and all of a sudden now I get access to God? You don't come to a confessional booth and tell me your sins because I'm just a mere sinner like you. But I have access to the throne of grace and I can come boldly, Hebrews 4:16, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. She did not have this opportunity. They told the words to Mordecai, Esther's words. Mordecai commanded, answered Esther, "Think not thyself that thou hast escaped the king's house more than all the Jews." He said, "I want to tell you something, Esther. You're in this with us. You're a Jew. If we die, you die." The Bible says, verse 14, chapter 4, would you look at it with me? "For thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time. If you hold your peace, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether it come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" You know what, friend? Every one of us have such a time as this. If you're living today, if I'm alive, which I am today, there is a purpose for our living for such a time as this. We make a difference in someone's life. For such a time as this. Some of our college boys ought to get a burden so heavily upon their heart that they're going to leave here after they've trained and after they've gone soul winning, learned the streets of this city and working with people, and they're going to leave here and go to Mongolia and go to Nepal and go to Hong Kong and go to the Philippines and go to Argentina and go to Australia and go to Korea and go to Thailand and go to the countries of the world and take the gospel for such a time as this. I was reading missionary letters, I believe it was yesterday morning early, and I was watching these letters come across my desk in a file from our missionaries, and I read about this college graduate who's 90% on his way to the field of Mongolia, and I read of this college graduate who is now in Seoul, Korea, and is in training with the English language, and I read about this missionary out of our college, one by one, rejuvenated. And what is it for such a time as this? For such a time as this. Every person in this room ought to be doing something for the cause of Christ for such a time as this. We ought to be on a bus route. I'll pause for the amen. We ought to be in a Sunday school class as a student or as a teacher. We ought to be a tither. We ought to be a soul winner. We ought to be a prayer warrior. We ought to be in the choir. We ought to be in the orchestra for such a time as this. We don't come to God's house to sit and to sour and to soak. We do something with our life for such a time as this. "Well, I'm getting old now. I'm 45, you know." You've got to be kidding me. You're in the prime of your life. So is 55, and so 65, and so is 75, and that's a good place to say amen. And the Bible goes on to say in our text today, go, verse 16, gather together all the Jews. Don't you have a love for your family? The family of God? Don't you have a love for this country? For such a time as this? He said, I want you to get all your family, all these Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. Esther said, I need you to fast for me. I need you to pray for me. Leadership needs to be prayed for. Leadership needs to be prayed for. Your dad, student, your child, your dad and your mother are your leaders. They don't deserve your debate. They deserve your prayers. You have a mother, you have a father. I would say be sure that you pray for your mother, your dad, and their leadership and the decisions they make that affect your life. You have a teacher? You have a boss? When was the last time you prayed by name for your boss? Do you have a pastor? Pastor's wife, have you brought us before, and I know you do, the throne of grace to pray for leadership? I had a wonderful joy this week to sit in the congressman's office in Washington, D.C., and as we talked together, I presented from this church Bibles to he and his wife and his family, and then I bowed with him in prayer that God would give him wisdom as he helps to lead our nation. God commands us to pray. I still have the previous president and his wife and his girls on my prayer list, the previous vice president. By the way, I have Mr. Trump proudly because I am commanded to pray for him. And I have his wife. I have his daughter Tiffany. And Ivanka. And Donald. And Eric. And I have that little boy, Barron. Why? Because I am to pray. God commands me to pray that we might live a godly and a peaceable life. You're a fool if you don't pray for your president. You're a rebel against the word of God. Praying for that, my wife said, please again, witness to our congressman. I've witnessed to him. She has. He loves this church. He loves us. And he's a liberal. Now, I'm not a conservative. I am way beyond a conservative. I'm against breathing. I love that man. I love his precious wife. I love his little 6-month-old boy. He is a gift to this church. He's a gift to this area. And he knows that I know, and I know that he knows. He might be watching right now, for he watches. He might be hearing me speak, and he'd say the same thing. We are on opposite ends of the pole, but not as friends, and not as without respect for one another. I heard this man this week, Mr. Scalise, the senator that was shot and killed at the shot and wounded so badly at the baseball game. Democrats are going to play Republicans. You recall that? He walked up there with his crutches. He was introduced. He is a right-wing conservative. He was introduced by his dearest of friends, the leader of the Black Caucus, Democrat. And they know politically on their different realms. The dear black man said, I have been a friend for this man way back in our Oklahoma days when we were in Congress there, all these years, and our kids know one another, and our wives, and we go to meals together, we go to one another's houses together. They're making fun of one another a little bit, you know, joking how one believes this and one believes, but they said, you know, the thing is, we can be civil with one another. And they pray for one another. Here's a little lady saying, would you please pray for me? I wish CNN would learn to pray for Mr. Trump. See how quiet it gets in here? Got to be politically correct. Get so tired of that nonsense. We need to pray for the majority party and the minority party. Here she said, I want you to pray for me. God's positioned you in this auditorium that you might not even know the person in front of you or behind you or the right or to the left right now, but God has placed that person on your heart and say, Lord, I don't know their name, and they might get out of here before you even know it, but say, Lord, in church on Tuesday this week, you might say, there's a lady in front of me or a man in front of me or a teenager over here or someone I saw, and God, you placed in my heart, whoever they are, wherever they are, I pray right now for their safety and for their living for God's purposes on this Tuesday. We don't pray for one another. We're good at attacking one another, but why don't we charge the throne of grace? And here's Esther saying, will you please pray for me? And she says in that verse 16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. She said, I have something big on my plate right now. I've got to take a stand for God and a stand for the Jews. And she said, I need your prayer. Your dad needs your prayer. Your mother needs your prayer. Your little child in elementary school or junior high and high school and college and in the nursery, that child needs your prayer. Grandmas and grandpas, your grandkids need your prayers. Who knows what could happen through the prayers of a godly mother, godly preacher 100 years ago who left his mother in rebellion and went out and lived a wild life and then was going to shoot himself atop a saloon one night and went up there to kill himself and began to think of my mother, what's she doing right now? I know my mother's praying for me. As an adult man, he went back home. And he found that the little cottage door was open. And not only did he get saved, he became a great preacher of the gospel and the president of the college and the great, great Moody Church in Chicago of yesteryear. Why? Because a mother prayed. Last time that you could say, I prayed for something, God really gave it to me. God gave me a peace. God gave me a contentment. God gave me a verse. God gave me a thought. God gave me something to pray about this great need for such a time as this. She says, as we get on to that verse, will you fast for me 3 days, night or day? I also with my maidens will fast likewise. I'll do the same. So I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. Said, I'm not supposed to be there. And if I perish, I perish. I'm to my message and I'm out of time. I want you to see what true love does. True love shows compassion on people. Her compassion is found in chapter 2 in verse number 6. She was carried away into captivity. Verse 7, her mother and father were gone. They were dead. She was a woman with compassion in her heart toward family, and she had Jews she loved. And you go through chapter 4, if I had the time, we see all the times that she burdened for her Jews. In chapter 8 especially, she's burdened for the Jews. When you say you love someone, compassion is always an action. It's a deed. I love Cindy Swanson Treber. I love her. When you love someone, that means that I am going to rise up toward that mate, toward our children, our grandchildren, toward our neighbors, toward our friends, and experience great compassion upon that person. That's why Jude 22, some have compassion. Jesus saw the great multitudes, Matthew chapter 9, and was moved with compassion. When was the last time anything moved you to compassion? You parents, when you drop those little kids and those teenagers off at school in the morning, don't you ever get moved as you see those little children running in and walking in with the little lunchbox and books and backpacks? Don't you get moved? You see those sweet teenagers going into school. Don't you get moved with compassion? Sometimes you go to a bus stop and you see it lined up with teenagers, and it just seems like there's no joy and no smiling and no laughter on their face, and they're just there standing, or they're on their cell phone. There's no life. Doesn't that bother you? Doesn't that bother you when you see kids that have just ruined their bodies and their minds and their hearts and their lives? Something's wrong. Ah, these rebels. Got enough of that. What was your heart moved with compassion? I saw someone recently, and I knew them, but I didn't know where I knew them. And boy, she saw me. She was sitting down in a public place, and she saw me, and she just lit up. And she said, hello, and we talked. I just couldn't place where I knew her. She had all the nose earrings on, the big ears, and she had those big things, the tires in the ears, and she was all tattooed up, and her hair was all different colors. You know, I'm not for that. But how about looking past all that? And looking, that girl has some kind of heart need. We've had a talk for a few moments, and she's a person. She's an individual. She's a child to some mother. She may not have a mother. She may not have a dad. But can't we be moved with compassion? We see an older person struggling with their walker or their wheelchair. Can't we be moved with compassion? Compassion is not what I get out of it. It's what I can give to it. She was moved with compassion. You know, I find that when we truly love like Jesus loved, there's always compassion, there's always courage. Go back, if you will, to chapter 4 where we were. In chapter 4, my Bible tells me that she was not permitted in verse 14 to go into that place and to go to that place where verse 11, the inner court, there's a law that you put to death. Just like Vashti, she didn't respect the law that the king, and I think he was way out of bounds, but she didn't follow through. And so what happens? He exiled her. She was not permitted to go to the court. Look at chapter 5 verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put the royal apparel and stood in the inner court. Whew, that's dangerous. She's supposed to die for going to that inner court. You're not invited to there by law of the Medes and the Persians unless you were invited to go in that court, that inner court. Now, so when the king saw Esther, queen standing in the court, she obtained favor. You know, love allowed her to have the privilege to come into that court. He knew her heart, but she wasn't quite sure. Because by going to that inner court, she was announcing, I'm willing to die right here. I'm a Jew. I don't belong here. And then thirdly, I see her conviction. Verse 16 of chapter 4, if I perish, I perish. True love is filled with conviction and commitment, and I will not waver. Take these three words: compassion, and courage and conviction. Apply that to every relationship in life. I love North Valley Baptist Church. When you gave me that privilege 42 years ago, this month when you voted, and March 1st we began, when you gave me that privilege, a love filled my heart, my wife's heart. We didn't have people, but just a few. We didn't have nice things. But we put our love on this place. And can I tell you that I know that why God's blessed? Because there's been a compassion both from the pulpit to the pew and from the pew to the pulpit. There's been courage from this pulpit to the pew and from the pew back. I think this church could attempt anything because I've watched you for 42 years do it. I've watched people have courage. Let's buy 15 new buses for nearly $1 million and the courage last year of God's people. Let's pay off a $4 million mortgage, not with rich people, just folks like you and me, and the courage. Let's launch radio stations all over the nation and worldwide internet and live streaming. Let's launch a publications. Let's launch a school. Let's launch a college. Let's launch a 28, 29, 30 bus routes. Let's launch rest home ministry, public school ministries. Let's launch a youth conference, a pastor's conference. Let's launch this. And every time God's people say, rise up and build. Let's do it. Because love always brings courage. With that courage comes conviction. I have a strong conviction that I know that America's a mess. I still pray that we'd see a mighty revival. You know, three words are important for a marriage. In this month of what we call love, would you say to your mate by demonstration, not always by words, but just demonstrate the great compassion you have toward your mate. The great compassion toward your wife. The great compassion toward your husband. The great courage toward your wife. The great courage toward your husband. And the great conviction. She's mine by the grace of God. She's been given to me. I'm going to love and respect. He's mine. The conviction we can do anything together. I'm going to put those three words into our parenting skills. I know you young couples think you're going to have those kids for a long time. But oh, exercise with your words and the way you speak to your children, and the way you listen, two ears, one mouth, the way you listen more than you lecture. You listen to your little boy, you listen to your little girl. Our little girl was married in this church 18 years ago today. She married a jerk. Your son, who moved him away to Los Angeles area, and we're both ticked off about that. I'll talk to you later. He's not a jerk. He's not a jerk, Robert. He's not. He's a good boy. I got to pay for that with her other son now. I'll explain that to you later. He's a good guy. He's the best. He's wonderful. He's great. Did I redeem myself? I'm okay? Good. Thank you. You don't know all about that, but I do. He's a wonderful, but they moved to pastor church. That's hard to believe. That was 18 years ago. Rainy, oh, rainstorm that day. It's probably all my tears coming down. Those days in our home, she left us 18 years ago today. Out in my little shed where my tools are, I've got one little item from all the children. My wife has one box of it, but I got a little T-shirt of hers. It's about this big. You could put on a little doll. It's just about that big. And I'll pull that out. I got something for the kids. I'll pull it out, and I think, how did that happen so fast? Those kids grew up. Mother and dad, always be compassionate toward your children. Don't yell at them. Don't slap them around. Don't use foul language towards your children. And children towards your parents. I have so much more to say, but I'm out of time. I hope you'll be back tonight. I want to say to the people of this great church, on this month of what we call love. I love this church. I love you people. But the greatest love you'll ever experience is not from a pastor, not from a mate, but from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here without Christ, this is the month to get saved, to find true love in Christ. Jesus Christ died on a cross for you and for me. He paid our sin. Would you place your faith and trust in Him today? Not in this church. Not in a man, not in a person, not in an offering plate, but in a Savior. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Our Father, what a great privilege it is to be a pastor.